All right, so I really struggled over, by the way, I'm giving the sermon today. And sometimes these things come together easily for me. This one was just not easy. I think I changed my mind about six times, including 4:45 this morning. So I think I know what God wants me to say, but hopefully he'll do that for me today. Let me start off. There was my wife, when I talked to her about the things that I wanted to discuss, she sent me a website for a blog. It's a Christian blog, Christian website, where people, you know, put on their ideas about things and get responses and such. Let me read you this one blog. It's kind of interesting. This person wrote, "Sometimes I live my life as if it's possible to be Switzerland. I pretend in my head that there are three paths to choose in this world. There is God's way, Satan's way, and neutral. But there's not. Over and over again, that is established in the Bible. Jesus even says in Mark 9, 'For whoever is not against us is for us.' But I don't live that way. I have rewritten that verse to read, 'Anything that is not inherently evil or illegal is okay.' That takes God out of the picture. That takes the holy and pure out of the picture. And it leaves me to watching the show Family Guy. That show is horrible, I agree. That show is foul and filthy and not redeeming to my heart and not uplifting and not something I need in my head or my soul. Chances are I will agree with everything you say that is negative about that program. That I watch it sometimes is not a good witness, not very mature of me, and not something I should ever be proud of. Here's the thing, though. I trick myself into thinking it is okay because it's not technically evil. I mean, porn, witchcraft, the occult, those things are clearly not healthy. Family Guy is just a crass cartoon. Drugs, stealing, lying, those things are clearly sins. Family Guy is just a 30-minute television show. The tricky thing about this whole idea is that it's so easy to corrupt into being judgmental. It's easy for me to think my definition of faith is the only right one, and if you don't like it, you're siding with the devil. You're such a pagan. And I don't have a clear answer for that, but I do have a thought. Maybe it's not about getting one answer and then moving on with your entire life as though you've been given the formula or secret code to God. Maybe it's about putting the question of good or evil to everything we face. I will probably make 100 decisions this weekend. Instead of jumping in as fast as I can, I hope I can ask myself which side I am choosing. Is this good or evil? Is this right or wrong?" So this was the blog. And then, as you can imagine, there were 500,000 responses to that. And I'm going to kind of, they fell into two categories, the responses. One category was, "Thank you for writing that. I don't watch Family Guy, but I've got plenty of my own shows that I watch that aren't very good for me, and I totally understand what you're going through. Thanks for writing that. I need reminding about that." And then there were the other half that said things which I'll kind of group together into the, "Well, I think you're being a little too black and white. Things are not inherently always evil or always good, that there are some gray areas. And it's how we respond to these things in our mind, or how we respond in our actions, that is really what makes up whether it's good or bad." There were some other interesting blogs, but it's 4:45 this morning, I cut some of those out. But anyway, that's kind of a good summary of the two sides. But when I read it, the thing that hit me was you know, first of all, every time I get up here to talk, I usually choose a topic not of something that I've conquered or that I do really well at, but I usually pick something that I'm struggling with. And this is something that is, you know, I can spend hours and hours and hours flipping through the channels, especially with HDTV now, it's even better. And watching, I don't actually watch Family Guy, but I, you know, there's plenty of shows just like Family Guy that I watch. And so it just got me to thinking, you know, where do I fall in these comments? Is the guy being a little too black and white about things? Or does it really sort of, you know, are we Are we adult enough and smart enough to watch something and know, well, that stuff is bad and that stuff is good, and you know, I won't, you know, I'll push this stuff to the side, but I'll remember the funny stuff or the artistic stuff or whatever. And so it got me to do a little searching in the Bible to see how important is it as far as what we decide to view on TV or read in books or watch in movies or view on the computer or whatever. Does it really matter what we do or what we look at or what we listen to? Or does that matter, or does it just more matter how we respond to that? And I found a couple of verses that I thought were kind of interesting. First one is Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. It says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." And then a second verse that I think kind of links into that a little bit, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So with these verses, I think how they hit me, what they brought home to me is that, yeah, it is possible to watch something like The Family Guy and or whatever it is that I watch and you know, kind of filter it out and leave the bad stuff behind, but then still live, you know, live a godly life. It's possible, but it's hard. Because what it says in these verses is, wherever our minds go, that's where our actions are going to go as well. And if we choose to spend a lot of time with our minds focused on things of the world, that's where our actions are going to go. But if we choose to spend a lot of time focusing our minds on things that are more holy or spiritual in nature, that's where our actions are going to go. And so my question then is, how, you know, what does that mean then to well, what does it say here? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? Or how do we have our minds focused on, what is the term used here? How do we have our mind controlled by the Spirit? Well, I think that here's a verse that you've probably heard before in Philippians. I think this states it fairly clearly. Paul writes to the Philippians, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now, I guess at first glance, that seems just kind of easy. It's almost like the power of positive thinking. If I can just think good things, then my mind will be focused on the Spirit and I'll live a godly life. But it as we all, I think, know, it's not that easy. Okay? It's really not that easy. And I think, for me at least, the reason it's not that easy is, even if I was better about what television shows I watch, there's a lot of stuff that I can't avoid. Driving down the freeway and the billboards on the side, or you know, opening up some website and then having some ad there that so that they can have a free website or whatever they put ads on, whatever. The commercials when I'm you know, there's nothing inherently evil about watching sports, right? That's okay. No, I'm kidding. But the commercials are kind of bad, you know. But I think we are way too unaware, at least I know I am, we're unaware of how many different things we are bombarded by every day. And I saw this video that actually was a grad student that is at Biola where I'm at. She showed it as part of her, she does research on how the media affects women. And there's a video that's been put out by the Dove company. And you may have seen part of it on a commercial on TV. And it's a video showing images that young girls are exposed to as they grow up, and how it, what these images do and how it affects the way that they're going to feel about themselves. And I want to show this video. I need to warn you a little bit. I almost have to kind of close one eye as I watch it, because it's pretty overwhelming. And if you're pretty sensitive, it has a lot of sexual images in there. If you're sensitive about that, you might want to look away. But these are images that you would just see any day if you're watching TV at all. I mean, it's not stuff you would see just on HBO or something like that. So let's just take a minute and watch this. All right, you can cut it there. So I showed you this not because I want to do a talk about sex and the media and stuff like that, but I wanted to just you to think about, can we have the lights back on out here? Thanks. I like to see you guys. I wanted to just point out that you know, we don't usually see these images all together, you know, in 30 seconds like that. You know, we usually see one here, one there. But these things really, I mean, they will influence our mind. And I, one of the things I also cut out of my talk today was some psychological research that shows that, yeah, these things really do affect us. They have an effect on us. But what happens is these things build up over time. And if we see something like this, it kind of points out how many things we actually see. And we're not really aware of these things, but they are going to have an influence on us. I think it reminds me of this principle called garbage in, garbage out. How what was that you said? Gigo?
G-I-G-O.
Did you pronounce it some way or just G-I-G-O? Okay. And it was first written or used to describe computer programs. And my guess is that it basically means if you write a program with input that has a lot of garbage in it, you're going to get a lot of garbage in the output. It's not going to work the way you want it to. And you know, we've taken this concept and we've applied it to other things in life. And I think most you know, commonly we apply it to you are what you eat kind of thing. You know, what we take into our bodies, the food that we eat, that's going to influence, you know, our health, our psychological well-being, how our moods, our feelings, all these things. Again, garbage in, garbage out. But I would also like to apply this to our minds. And I think we know this, but we probably don't think about it much, and that is that whatever it is that we allow to come into our minds that we think about, even if we don't think about it very long, that's going to influence our output, what we do, what we tend to think about, how we behave, how we treat other people. So I wanted to go back then to the blog that I read to you about Family Guy or whatever and think about this, think about some of the things. And here's some realizations and some personal thoughts that I had. He talks about, you know, that we tend to see things as either for Jesus or for Satan. And then we sometimes see that there's things in the middle. And we can kind of probably go back and forth and argue whether there are neutral things. And there was a lot of arguing about that on the website. But things that I might call neutral, like sitting and watching a baseball game for 3 hours. Okay, I may not be, you know, watching, you know, pornography or something like that. But one of the things I kind of realized when I was thinking about this for myself is usually these neutral things, I think the reason that I go to them or cling to them is that it's just kind of a nice escape from the world. And it in my own mind, I guess it's nice to just get away and not think about things, have something else to think about. But the problem is that what it actually does for me is, rather than, you know, if there are things going in my life that I'm, you know, unhappy about or need to deal with, it just makes me avoid dealing with them. And in fact, what it does is it sort of numbs me a little bit. And it pulls me away from actually coming to God and asking to him for help, or going to other people and asking them for help. It's almost like a sedating drug in a sense. And so that's one thing that I kind of noticed for me. I also, my thought about, should I not watch The Family Guy? Should I not watch sports? Should I not watch The Simpsons or whatever? You can go either way on this, but my thought about that is if you're trying to avoid every negative thing in the media, it's going to be kind of tough, okay? You're going to probably have to, put a sack over your head and earplugs in your ear. However, I think it would help if we were a little bit more awake and aware to what it is that we're actually seeing and what we're actually allowing to come into our minds. I think that we're not very aware, I had a verse here, and this is not on the screen, but 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial." And what Paul is saying there is that as Christians, we are not bound by the law anymore. If I choose to watch Family Guy, I'm not going to go to hell, okay? In fact, if I choose even much worse things than that, I'm not going to go to hell, okay? So everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And frankly, I don't really want a relationship with God where I just kind of think about him once in a while, or he's just kind of there when I need him. If I really want a good relationship with God, I've got to do more than just sort of what it takes to get by. Okay? I've got to do more than what it takes to get by. And so what I think, this leads me to the next point, which is what struck me the most when I read these verses, especially about the transforming your mind and Philippians 4:8, for whatever is true, whatever is noble, focus on these things, is that I think what the Bible has to say is not so much, avoid watching Family Guy or avoid all these things that are going to pull you away from God. In fact, that's the easy part, in a sense. It's not easy, but God wants us to go a step further. He wants us to not just avoid the bad things, but approach the good things. He wants us to actively focus our minds on good things, whatever is true, noble, trustworthy, all these things. And so what ends up happening then is if we are able to do that, if we actually take our minds and focus them on these good things, then suddenly it's not such a struggle to try to avoid the other things because our mind is busy on things that it should be busy on. And so to ask me, should I watch, am I wrong watching Family Guy? I think my answer would probably be, I don't have an answer for that, but maybe that time you're using watching The Family Guy, maybe if you took it and focused on something else, that might, just improve your relationship with God even more. And you know what? This whole idea of focusing on what is true, noble, trustworthy, pure, it's so obvious to me sometimes because there are times when I am doing that. Unfortunately, not often enough. But there are times when I'm doing that. And it's usually times when maybe I'm in worship at church, or maybe I'm in small group and we're discussing something in the Bible, or it may even just be having a conversation with another Christian brother and we're sort of talking about things in our lives, talking about our spiritual lives. And when I do this, it is amazing. It's almost as though there's a switch in my brain that suddenly turns on. And it's as though my brain has been muted by all these things of the world and worries and anxieties and problems. And then suddenly I am able to see things from God's point of view. And unfortunately, that doesn't last very long. As soon as I kind of go back into the real world again, it flips back into dull mode again, where I'm thinking about things in a worldly way. But it encourages me as I think about that, that I want that more. If I really want, you know, and it's not only that I'm, you know, more in tune with God, but it actually feels pretty good too. I mean, I feel much more relaxed. I feel much more joy than when I'm watching a baseball game on TV. Now, again, you know, I'm probably going to go home and watch the Angels after church today. But again, if I can take some of these times and focus on these things, it's going to make a huge difference in my life. So I have a few suggestions then based on this. And then the first thing is that I think I've already kind of talked about this, and that is, while it's pretty much unavoidable to have some garbage coming in just in the world we live in, there's a couple things we can do with that. One is to try to be a little bit more aware and recognize all these things that we're viewing and that are going to have an effect on us later. But then the other thing is, you know, if I'm flipping through the channels and it comes on something that I know I shouldn't be watching, is flip it real quickly. And that's hard to do, harder than it sounds. All it takes is, you know, a button press. But it's, you know, we are easily controlled by our sinful nature, and when we see something that you know is drawing to our sinful nature, it's going to want to check it out. And quite often, this is my next suggestion, if you find yourself in that situation and you know you should avoid something but you don't really want to, and that is, just say a quick prayer. And for me, a lot of times it's just, God help me. I mean, he knows what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be a 30-minute long prayer or anything. And so verse 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." So God is there for us. He's ecstatic when we are in those situations and we ask him for help. He's just dying to give us help to get out of those situations. Then the next thing is, well, again, it's not just avoiding the bad things, but even more, it's focusing on the good things. And, you know, the beginning, if we go back to Philippians 4, verse 8. Let me go back to that on my notes here. Okay. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true." Wow, that's the first thing. Whatever is true. How do we know whatever is true? Well, to me, there's only one source that I know that I can rely on that is going to tell me the truth. And it's not Billy Graham or Rick Warren or, you know, any of these people, it's the Bible. And so, you know, for me, I need, and for you too, we really need to spend more time actually looking into the Bible and see what it has to say about things. And it's, you know, you're going to have to find out for yourself, you know, what's your best way of doing this. This talk is not about that. But that is the one place where we are going to be able to find truth about things. And it amazes me as I, you know, I'm a psychology professor. It amazes me, the more and more I study about psychology, how it links up to what the Bible says. And, you know, what psychologists find is these great revelations has been in, you know, the Bible for, you know, some of it thousands of years, were written thousands of years ago. And we are going to find truth there, but we actually have to spend time looking at it. And for, you know, I don't know what's going to be best for you. For me, it's oftentimes very hard to just kind of, okay, open, I'm going to read Romans today. Okay, that's going to be hard to do. For some of you, you know, what helps me is going to a small group and studying the Bible through a small group. Maybe for you, it might be getting together with one other person. Maybe it's just finding a good study guide that you can use. But whatever it is, whatever works for you, you got to spend more time reading the Bible if you want to find truth and to be able to focus on these things. I want to throw in a little plug here while I'm up here, and that is that my wife, Adri, has been, she's kind of really been excited all summer about starting, and it kind of started with her own desire. She said, you know, I want to know more about what the Bible has to say. I've been reading it for a long time, but how do I know if I'm reading it right? And so she has decided that she wants to sort of do her own little study on what's called hermeneutics, or how to study the Bible. And as she thought more about it, she thought, you know, I bet there's other people that would be interested in that. And so what she's going to do, and I'm going to work with her on this, is we're going to start a small group coming up, probably in a few weeks, we're going to actually take a hermeneutics textbook, but it's, when I say textbook, I mean, I immediately think dry, but this is actually a book that has been told to us by, well, Josh actually was one of the people that recommended it. Another guy who I work with at Biola, who's a New Testament professor, said to use this. And I looked through we looked through this book, and it's actually a fairly simple to read book. It's not, you know, one of these heavy books that you use as a doorstop. It's actually, and it's fairly well written. And it brings up great ideas about, you know, well, how do we read, you know, when the Bible says, you know, women should cover their heads in church. How come women don't cover their heads in church anymore? Are we sinning? So it talks about how do we read the Bible and really understand it? And so I just wanted to stop. If that's something that you're interested in, if you just want to take, before we do the offering today, if you just want to write down on your note card, that's something I might be interested in. Go ahead and write that down. I'm kind of excited about it myself because, I've been reading the Bible for a long time, but I can be making a lot of mistakes, and I would much rather be finding the truth than whatever sounds good to me. So, then the last thing I want to say is, and this, again, all of these things are just because of, this is what happens with me, is I need to force myself to spend time in situations that are going to help me to focus on these good things. And that includes, for me, being part of a small group. It includes coming to church on Sunday. It includes being involved in a ministry in the church. And it includes even just getting together with some friends in church. I meet once a week with Seth for lunch. And it's amazing how, and when we talk about the transforming of your mind, it's amazing how many times I go in there and I'm in a bad mood about something, or somebody cut me off on the way over there, or Adri didn't put the butter away that day, or whatever. Big items like that, yeah. And I come away just because of our conversation. We don't have any agenda. We just talk. But I come away and my mind is completely different. It's focused very differently. And you laugh, you know, when I talk about, you know, getting cut off or not putting the butter away. But those types of things, when I am being driven by the sinful nature, they actually bug me. And they shouldn't bug me, okay? And so the more that I can transform my mind, the more that I can see things the way God sees things. And it's a much better way than I tend to see things. So that's the last thing, is force yourself to do these things. Okay, I have to admit, it's probably easier for me because I'm kind of an extrovert and I like to spend time with people. Some of you are much more introverted, but you're going to have to find whatever is going to be good for you to be involved with other Christians and to talk about spiritual things. It's good to get together with other Christians, but spend some time actually talking about your life, your struggles, your joys, whatever. And it's amazing what it will do for your mind and your peace of mind and all of that as well. So let me close in prayer, and then the worship team will come up and lead us in worship. Lord, I really do want to follow you better. My sinful mind, my sinful self, my sinful nature wants to do things the way I want to, even though I know that it's just making me more miserable. I want my mind transformed. I want you to transform my mind so that I can see things the way that you see things. It's so hard for me because I I want to control everything that I have, and I know a lot of it involves giving up control to you, Lord, and saying no to some things and saying yes to other things. But Lord, I just pray for myself, and I pray for everybody here today, Lord, that we would allow you to do that. We would allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and transform our minds. And that in this transformation of our minds, we would be new people. We would see things in a new way. And it would draw us closer to you, Lord. We would experience that closeness. We would experience that relationship with you in a way we've never experienced it before. Thank you that you want to do that for us. Thank you that you're there waiting for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.